This is, without a doubt, the zero hour. The hour in which the coming of the Lord draws near. The hour when the nations are preparing for battle. Over our house yesterday flew low a very heavy plane, possibly you saw it, just getting ready to be disassembled and shipped to England. And you see them going day by day as we're manufacturing them out here, heavy with gasoline, getting ready to be taken over. Everywhere munitions are being packed and supplied. The United States, so we love peace over here so much that we just sell every bit of scrap iron to Japan because we feel so sorry for China. And we love the money so we get for the scrap iron. God help us. But every bit of scrap iron we send over abroad to others, I think we'll get back someday, maybe. Is that consolation? Such as it is. There's no doubt that we are in a zero hour. Tension, such as was never known even before the World War, grips the throat of the world today. Because before the World War, men didn't really know what war was. Oh, we sang for a while. You remember how popular the song? I never raised my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy. There'd be no war today if mothers all would say. Remember? I never raised my boy to be a soldier. And in a little while, that song was banned. Anyone could be fined who sang it. Because now, we must put the oomph in war. And give it the gas, as it were. And sing, over there, glorify war. Kiss the boys as they leave, put up rolls of a flag in their hand, bring back their mutilated bodies and forget them. We know a little bit more of war now than we knew then. The zoom, bomb, falling of explosives from the sky. The earth churning of high explosives. The effects of poison gas of which man had never dreamed. And I believe it is publicly conceded that the next war will be so much greater. And scientists today are devoting every effort toward the destruction of human flesh. That the last World War would be nothing but a 5-cent firecracker compared to Big Bertha. This is a zero hour. In other words, Jesus is coming soon. The battle of Armageddon is soon to be fought on earth. But I do not believe, according to the Word of God, that the church is going all through the tribulation. Do you? I believe we're going to be called up to meet him. In fact, the Bible tells us that unless those days, speaking of the war, unless those days were shortened, no flesh should survive. Our great journalists and writers tell us that the next war will stretch not so much the military frontiers as they will stretch the civilians, the mothers, the babes, the farmers, the quiet home folks. You, me. Zero hour, the very words cause a constriction of the throat to me. It means that time but just before the boys go over the top for a supreme superlative effort. Lights out. Quiet. Just before the gray of dawn has turned to rose. Right foot stealthily lifted to the fire step of the trench. By the way, I have walked miles in the trenches around Verdun, Chateau Ferry, Bellow Woods, and so forth after the war was over. On the fire step to give them a spring over when the order comes to charge. Ammunition stored behind them. the full assurance that there'll be a rain of fire going ahead to protect them. Hand grenades strung around the belt, just ready for the pulling at a pin and the throwing to dash other men into eternity. I wonder just what kind of a reception committee they receive in heaven. So many nations tell their people that if you just die for your country, God will welcome you right home to glory. You die for Japan, you're sure for heaven. You die for China, you're sure for heaven. You die for the fatherland, you're sure of heaven. You die for America, the Lord will remember you. Better they all get fighting up there again, won't it? And the Japan and China and the Germans and so forth. No, brother or sister, there's one way of salvation, and that's you must be born again. However, the 0 hour, silence. Our Bible tells us the hearts even of the rich men and of the great are trembling for fear, thinking upon those things which shall come to pass upon the earth. Isn't that a picture of yesterday's newspapers and this morning's? The Pope's warning and plea to the leaders of the world for peace, the ministers cry for peace, they shall cry peace, peace when there is no peace. Friends, there will never be any real lasting peace till the Prince of Peace comes back in Jesus. And once and for all, men take off their crowns or the mark of the beast or whatever it may be and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But in the meantime, certain things will transpire. Now, in the 0 hour, before the inflammatory torch flames out, we should be out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I say out, I mean you can preach it right here across the aisle. Tell someone near you. Come down to Angel's Temple. I think there's one of the finest workshops I know, don't you? Everyone here is supposed to work for the Lord. Or in the foreign field or the domestic field or joining our Bible college or wherever the Lord leads you. But do something, because this is the 0 hour. This is that silent moment before the bombshell breaks of war and before the coming of the Lord, where we shall be caught above it all to meet our Savior in the sky. Lord, come quickly is our prayer. Glory to Jesus. I was impressed tremendously as I walked through the war field over there. As I left Paris, the whole inner wall was pointed out to me. And he said, there is a shot that was fired 30 miles by that great gun of which you read, the Big Bertha. And they said, and this is a hotel in which the Kaiser's staff expected to dine that night. Our car turned, and he said, this, pointed to a monument, is 30 miles from Paris, where the Germans had almost entered. And this is where they were stopped, by that famous taxi cab drive. You remember that the soldiers and the munitions and the men were on the field. Paris was practically defenseless. An old general that was rather on the shelf and forgotten as to his usefulness, was there. And when he heard that Paris was to be taken that day, he issued a wonderful order, one that I'd like to order this morning if I could issue it. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that could drive a car, a wagon, a taxi cab, a bicycle, or anything else, move right straight out down every road and avenue and line to meet the enemy. And the eyes of the army, of the German army, came first. At the airplanes, of course. And then they looked down from the sky and saw these taxi cabs and automobiles, and believe me, Paris had plenty of them. And all the people, they went back and said, we've been tricked. We've been trapped. The whole road in every direction is full of armored tanks and full of traps. They're well defended. That was a famous taxicab drive. I went on to the woods, the forest, the lawn, where the United States purchased some land. The flag might be raised in commemoration of the bravery of our boys. I remember well it was raining, and I picked up one or two splinters of metal, a gas mask, different things that I brought home. I presume they still keep in the bookshop. I left them there. They're my property. I put them in the bookshop for display. You can probably see them there during the week. From the very heart of the war. And as it rained through those leaves, and I pictured the boys crawling inch by inch along, each one feeling that it was God's duty that he should stab his neighbor to the heart. Then after it's all over, we just link arms, say, well, come on, let's have a good dinner, what do you say? There's something awfully wrong about the whole thing. I stepped upon the camouflaged, overturned tank, and still it rained. And the rain seemed like tears from a leaden sky that day. Somehow I didn't care. I wanted to feel a little bit what the boys felt when they were over there. The trip went on to Chateau Berry. And it was a very pleasant-looking hotel at the front. Only luncheon, for it was midday, was served on the rear piazza. Someone asked, what is that great hole yonder? And they said, that's just where one of the shell landed. The American troops were here, and it wiped out. I'm afraid to give the exact number in one fell swoop. Now, my God, what will Armageddon be? Then the car took up its afternoon and evening, sorry. The last house died away. I remember the last human being I saw was a man out in the field trying to hoe the most desolate, deserted, dead soil that I ever saw. And I couldn't see that he had any crop. Beyond that, there was nothing except piles of shell here and there to be examined to be sure whether or not these were duds, unexploded shells to us, but duds to the militaristic boys. Finally, on to the dune itself, over barbed wire, up on the top of the great fort, realizing every inch meant panting, screaming, bloody death, and then down to the bowels of that fortress of Verdun where the boys lay dying without proper medical care in many instances, just having to whip their teeth while a leg was sawed off without anesthetic. Friends, this is a zero hour. When the Church of Jesus Christ has a time of peace in which we may be converted, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost from on high for power, win souls to Jesus, get our beloved ones and those afar across other lands, they're all one family, converted, that when Jesus sounds that trumpet, or the angel sounded for him, and the graves give up their dead, and the living rise to meet him, we may be ready. Hallelujah! Would you be ready this morning? Up there by your radio, would you be ready? Lady, I see you sitting there with that cocktail glass in your hand, and your brother with that cigarette in your hand out there in the radio audience. Would you be ready? Would you be ready in the audience at Angelo Temple through the blood of Jesus? How many believe the truth, not through any goodness of your own, but through the merit of his blood over Radio Land, and here you will be ready. Say amen, both of you. My God, I want to be ready. I want to be ready when the Lord shall come. And so today, while men and women are getting quite accustomed to buying magazines such as Life and others, showing us the pictures of the king and queen and the little princesses and others being fitted for gas masks. And just how to leave a school or a public building in time of bombing. When we see constantly pictures of how England is advertising real estate with bomb-proof cellars, and the houses don't sell so well unless they have these, or those who build bomb-proof shelters try to build them in the yard and beautify them with ivy and clematis and so forth. While we're reading these things, nevertheless, to the real child of God, there is but one thought, and it hammers incessantly at the door of my heart. Jesus is coming. Get ready to meet him. Jesus is coming. You have been saved. You have, by his grace, called hundreds of thousands of others to the banner of the cross. Keep on. Call men and women today to give their lives to his service. And by his grace, let us tell men everywhere of the story of Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus is coming soon. There may be a question that bothered me, which might perplex you as to the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is very real. There's no doubt of that. For example, in the Old Testament, the second coming of Christ is mentioned 20 times for every once his first coming. No wonder the Jews didn't recognize the Christ when he came. They saw the 20 prophecies instead of naturally picking up the obsolete one. They read of his coming as a king with a scepter in his hand who would rule all nations before whom every knee should bow. How were they to realize that Isaiah meant that he was to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace should be upon him, with his stripes we are healed, or that a virgin should conceive and bear a son, and we should call his name Emmanuel. He should be meek and lowly, riding upon an ass and the foal of an ass. However, the Bible distinctly declares Christ is coming again. In the New Testament, there are 260 chapters. The second coming of our Lord is definitely prophesied 318 times in those 260 chapters. Christ himself declared he would come again. If I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself. Some say, well, that's just a death, sister. Don't you know when you die, the Lord detects you? Now, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, of course. But there is a definite coming of the Lord where the sea shall give up its dead and the spirit shall be reunited, praise God, in a mystic way. Paul says we shall not ask that mysterious question, in what order or form or manner do they come? I want it to be a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Yet the thing that bothered me was this. Christ said, as the lightning flashed from the east to the west, which would be his appearance. Yet they say he's in the desert. His name is Father, Mother, or Sister, or Auntie, or something, or the high, exalted so-and-so. Don't believe it. He says, that's not the coming of the Lord. There'll be many people come saying, I am Christ. And crazily enough, in this educated age, to deceive many. But as a lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall be the coming of the Lord. In Acts 1:11, the two men in white, evidently angels, possibly the same who rolled the stone away from the tomb, said to the wondering group who had watched the ascension of our Lord, the same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you did see him go into heaven. And you tarry in Jerusalem, you will see the power from on high. Glory to God. All this day, all we talk of is power. But friends, we need to stop for the Holy Ghost power after we've been washed in the blood, that we may be able to preach this gospel in a brief time. If everyone in Angela Temple this morning would, well, I think you all pretty well agree with me. If you'd only put what I'm saying into practice,
And we all put together our money, our energy, our voice, our time, our talent, I believe we could move the world for God in a week's time. Amen. These are days of radio. These are days when the world can be entirely encircled by a plane in a breathtakingly short time. These are days of the printing press. These are days when the gospel can be carried to the ends of the earth. Brother, the task is ours. The torch has fallen from the hands of the apostles, from the hands of Luther, from the hands of Wesley, from the hands of our own Mormon evangelist, whom shall we say, Dr. Torrey, Brother Rader, Brother A.B. Simpson, those of our more modern days. It's fallen fair and square into our hands. We're the men and women of today, the boys and the girls to whom the call has come. Jesus is coming soon. Get ready. And now, in the zero hour of silence, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, they're holding back their horses. And the horses are champing at their bit, ready to be gone. I heard a brother Howard Westoy, great teacher of the Bible this morning. He mentioned the fact that September the 2nd was set as the date of ultimatum. Many are speculating whether or not the time that the harvest is in, if that would be the time of war. Oh, God forbid. God forbid. I want to see Jesus come. But oh, I fear if we just had a little longer, brother. If we had just a little longer, sister, you'd get up and do something. Amen. Lots of people will meet me, perhaps, at different times, as I leave the platform or at the car. They'll drop a line into the office tomorrow and say, good girl, good sermon, good work, and I admire your earnestness. Oh, that isn't what I want. It's you that God wants. It's to get a hold of you and shake you alive and say, my Lord, what am I doing? And when the call comes, we'll be ready. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds. And so shall we be forever with the Lord. What a wonderful day. Glory to God. Now, maybe clarify one more point. The coming of the Lord is divided into two points, or two parts, I should say. First, his secret coming in the air as a thief in the night. For his gold, silver, precious stones, for those that are ready. The time when two shall be at a mill, one taken, the other left. Two in the field, one taken, and the other left. And a great missing column will appear in the papers. And then will come the mightiest of the war of Armageddon. Even the newspapers are using the word Armageddon. One can't help being impressed. I have read several very learned writings declaring that the Holy Land, how thought about it, would be the logical crossroads of the world for the final battle to be fought. For you know that chain of waterways beginning at Gibraltar and ending off of the Red Sea and the final entrance of Malta and so forth will be the great struggle that is to come between Europe and Africa, etc. Secondly, the Lord is coming to be seen by all. Now, some people conceive a contradiction in the Bible. They say, well, first in a certain one place, the Bible declares he's coming as a thief in the night. He will take his own and be gone. Another place says that when he comes, he'll come with all his hosts. And those of the nations who look upon him shall see him and know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Yes, well, who is this? Well, this Savior that for years we laughed at, we said, well, it couldn't be the Christ. It couldn't be the Jewish Savior. Well, I have nothing to do with him. We're waiting for the true Messiah. Was it Jesus all the time? And a nation shall be converted in a day. In other words, he is coming in the clouds. He will catch up his own, living or dead. Praise the Lord to me. Then there will be the marriage supper. On earth, the tribulation. The time of sorrow such as the world has never known. And that time must be cut short, because with the implements of war in our hand, the Bible declares, no flesh could stand. I think we all agree to that, don't we? I think it was Friday's paper discussing the Maginot Lines and how many elevators and so forth had gone into the earth and whether or not they'd be able to stand the bombing and the pounding. That'd be a great experiment. Yes, what an experiment with broken bones and crunching flesh. But at the end of it all, hallelujah, and cutting it short, shall be the glorious, triumphal coming. Not his coming in the air, but his coming back to earth. When, according to our Bible, his feet shall touch the top of the mount of Olivet. And it shall be divided into twain, in two parts, as though below by a great earthquake. And he shall rule 1,000 years. And the old devil and the beast shall be cast into the bottomless pit, while he shall reign. Praise the Lord.